Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is your host, Brother T. I'm back with my lovely wife, Claudia Renee.
Hello.
We're going to be working with Lesson 206 tonight. We're in Review 6 from the last review of Part 1 from the Course in Miracles workbook. Let's take a good deep breath and join together for a moment of silence here as we begin. I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me.
Salvation of the world depends on me. I am entrusted with the gifts of God because I am his son, and I would give his gifts where he intended them to be.
I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. Take another deep breath now. One more moment of silence together as we consider today's lesson. Salvation of the world depends on me. I am entrusted with the gifts of God. This begs the question. Maybe you're asking yourself as you're reviewing this lesson, what are the gifts of God? And the mind can go into an exercise of analysis and speculation and trying to imagine, you know, what would the gifts of God be? And the gifts of God would be, oh, let's say, healing of some physical illness or some miraculous saving of a life or some such stuff, right? I always try to look at the teaching of A Course in Miracles through the lens of looking at the sleeping self. If I looked at the sleeping self and I said that you are entrusted with the gift that the sleeping self does not have an awareness of. I mean, you are safe at home in bed while the sleeping self is having all of these dramas, traumas. Could even be these, you know, terrorizing episodes of something that you're in imagination that's playing out as a nightmare. What would be the gift that you would give to that sleeping self? Well, you might say, well, I just wake up. Let me just wake you up. There have been times when I've would find myself and my body feeling frozen when I would be almost in a lucid dream, caught somewhere between sleeping and awakening, but feeling like I couldn't move. And if I could just move my body, I could come out of that almost like trance-like experience where I just felt like I was frozen. But I knew I was a body. I knew I was at home in my bed. I knew where I was, if you will. But I couldn't quite come back into the body to mobilize the body, as an example. And yes, that has seemed fearful the first few times that happened to me. I'm not suggesting it's an experience that you're going to have. I'm just saying it's an experience that the gift I would want to give to the sleeping self is to simply to awaken. Could we say that that's a gift of love out of illusion? Absolutely. If God is love, then the only gift, the real gift, the gifts that you have been gifted with, the gifts of God, are your ability to see love where love is. Love is in all things, expressed in a unique way by all things. And we have to look at the superficial presentation of all things, our brothers and sisters included, and see beyond that. This is not something that the small self, the ego self, or even the sleeping self, can imagine itself even doing. Or maybe it can imagine itself, maybe it wants to control our experience of enlightenment, our journey of ascension. But that's a game that it's playing because it wants to be God. It wants to pretend, it is pretending, that it's in control and it knows what's needed and it needs to control even the journey home, the journey of enlightenment. But the gifts of God would always be, because the means and end are one, the gifts of God would always be a gift of love. And you have been entrusted with the gift of love. So we don't have to make it complicated. It's not complicated. But it does require us to be joined in union and relationship with our higher self, with the Holy Spirit, with nothing more than our right mind, our true self, in order to be able to know and express and to gift that gift of love. Because the ego, small self's idea of love, is convoluted. It's kind of insane, okay? It's a love of jealousy and all of the attributes that we've even given God by some of our religions, making that up in our own image rather than recognizing that we are one with God, not just made up in the image of God, but actually being the extension of what God is. And the only way to experience it or even to begin to express it is to be joined in union and relationship with the Holy Spirit. Nothing more than our right mind. So we could say that that part of you then has been gifted the gifts of God, and that part of you, your right mind, your true self, is absolutely at the ready to extend those gifts. This is not an assignment for you to be a better human. But that's what the ego would want us to do, would it not? I'm going to have to be a better person, and I've got to change my behavior. I've got to change my who I am, how I'm being. I am not a body. I am free. If we go back to the basic premise, the human is a body. The ego is in the body. That's its home. I am not a body, and until I actually begin to truly, wholly accept that truth and let go my attachment to the body, or if you will, to begin to ignore the ego's unwavering dependence and attachment to the body, then once I've let that go, I can begin to join with my higher self, which is always at the very center of my being. And we take that good deep breath, and we come to center and we simply say, are you there? Asking to be recognized, or if you will, to let our true self know that we are recognizing it, because we've only been recognizing the ego up to that very instant. And now, joined in union and relationship, we allow that voice to guide our expression. You're not, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're not.
Oh, I was muted. I'm sorry.
Can you start over?
Yes. Yes. I was saying that I'm just really grateful for this lesson and for this conversation. This particular one in the past has been a little challenging, and I feel that what's coming through is a greater insight and awareness. And I love the habit that you help us to see the Course in Miracles through the lens of, you know, being asleep and in this experience. And so the gift of awakening, to love, and this particular lesson, that salvation of the world depends on me, you know, can sound pretty heavy. And the original lesson talks that this is a great lesson in humility, not this isn't about grandiosity of the ego, but that it is about the grandeur of spirit, and that the only way that that grandeur comes through is through that holy instant and through that joining in spirit, holy and divine. And it juxtaposes just beautifully with the beginning statements, the reminder that I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. And how am I created? I am created as spirit, and the gifts that are given are the gifts of spirit, the gifts of love, the gifts of peace, the gift of oneness and union, that God and I are one, that this knowing is the gift. And this morning, as I contemplated this, the question came, and I would give his gifts where he intended them to be. Where is that? Where does he intend them to be? And I went back to, oh, in spirit. I am not a body. So it can be this idea that it's the gifts that we, you know, that can be in a package and wrapped and in form. But no, that it's the gift, the eternal gift that is always given, that is changeless, is that right identity of who I am. And that the salvation of the world just depends on me awakening to that. And each of us awakening to that. I don't need to do it. I need but allow it through my willingness to humble the ego and allow the true humility of the magnificence of spirit to step into being who I am. And so I think it's a really profound lesson. I did a creative writing this week called The Intersection, which reminds me of this. And the intersection of, you know, the idea of that humility on the human axis, the horizontal axis crossing with that grandeur of spirit, of God and I as one, on the vertical axis, and that intersection, that sweet spot, that secret sauce, if you will, of being humble, and the humility of what is being called forth here is this perfect balance in this experience of being humbly human and magnificently divine in grandeur of spirit. And so that's kind of what comes through for me with this lesson.
And I would give them his gifts where he intended them to be. So how would we know? Let's just say that we were capable of giving the gift of a miracle. And indeed we are. And indeed we are. So we're capable of giving this gift of a miracle, right? So how would we know where he, and this is a capital H, he, intended them to be, unless we were joined in union and relationship with our higher self? And a miracle is that gift. And a miracle is, by definition, of course, in miracles, cutting to the chase, is a sudden shift of perception. So this shift of perception that we can give, point to, or be the conduit of, if you will, the sharing of a miracle is what our purpose is here. But we couldn't do that if we weren't joined with that higher self, the Holy Spirit, If we were not in realization of our right mind, we not only couldn't truly give the gift, but we wouldn't have any idea where it was intended to be. And in one of our discussions this week, Claudia, I know I heard you say something about, sowing seeds on barren ground or whatever that phrase is. Do you remember what?
Throwing pearls before swine?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, throwing pearls before swine. Mm. If God's gifts, if you will, are for everybody, right? But someone whose eyes are closed and who refuses to hear the truth, you can, really work yourself pretty hard to try to think you've got to fix somebody or fix some situation or help somebody along, but you're time is of the essence, really, in the sense that we are on assignment to help to enlighten the world, beginning with ourselves, but the whole world can begin to wake up, and we can begin to experience heaven on earth, but it begins with us individually. And I've been that person who was so excited about A Course in Miracles when I first started studying that I was going out and basically trying to convince people that, oh, you got to learn this, you got to know this, man, this is the greatest thing, and it is, all those things are true. But there were a lot of people that were close to me who literally started walking down the other side of the street when they would see me, because they don't want to hear me proselytize on something that I've learned, even though ultimately they will learn it, but it's in their time. And so until I really began to realize that wasn't my responsibility as a human, it's my function as a realized child of God to be joined in union with the Holy Spirit and then allow that mind to guide all of my actions and where I share my gifts.
Hmm. Beautiful. So as we connect in union in that holy instant, we're guided perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to suggest that we close with you. I know you had an experience today of guiding another individual to the experience of the holy instant, and you had, a beautiful experience, and I know you'll share that at some point, but would you guide us in the way that you do to that experience, and would you like me to read the lesson again and then close out with that, or how would you like to?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's read the lesson again.
Okay. All right.
So I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as my Father created me.
Salvation of the world depends on me. I am entrusted with the gifts of God because I am his son, and I would give his gifts where he intended them to be. I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me.
So let's join together now, and we take a good deep breath. And as we come to the heart center, we take the opportunity to check in, and we can ask a simple question of our higher self, always there, ever patient, awaiting an opportunity to be recognized, and we simply asked, are you there? And we listen. And we feel. The response can sometimes be like a verbal response. Absolutely, yes. Always. Forever and ever. Of course. And sometimes it can simply be a feeling, and you can feel it wash over you. And sometimes it can be both of those things. But you can begin to feel the presence of love, because it's real, it's available, and it's always with you. And knowing this connection now has been made, regardless of how certain you may be it is or isn't, you are indeed being heard. And you are indeed being responded to. Make no mistake about that. Don't let doubt and uncertainty trick you into thinking that your time is being wasted. It is not. So we've taken that good deep breath. We've engaged. We have begun a dialogue. It takes two. And you have to be involved. Are you there? Absolutely. I follow that myself always because I feel the presence, the wash comes over me, and I always feel thrilled to simply say, as I do to my wife or my mom or my brothers and sisters or anyone in my family that's close to me or my cat, what do I say? I love you. It's just a natural response to, because now we're in dialogue and I feel it's so important to say, I love you. And again, I feel the response. I feel the wash. I feel the presence. And now, one of the most important things that I can do is to just simply ask the question, what is the truth? Now, the question may be, and Spirit's always with you, so Spirit always knows what your concerns are, always knows what every thought is. Not in judgment, but in presence, always being with you. Make no mistake. And so, even if you have the slightest idea of any question or something you're concerned with, Spirit knows all about it. And when you ask the question, what is the truth? It's there with you. You know it is. And allow then Spirit to inform you. It can come in an instant, it can come over hours, it can come over days, but it will come. And allow that beautiful guide, capital F friend, capital T teacher, capital V voice for God, to inform you in your life. And now you're in dialogue and you're in presence with your higher self. And the hard part for me and for most, I believe, is to simply be willing to just listen and allow ourselves to be informed. But that communication and that response, that is the part that is played out by the Holy Spirit. Nothing more than your right mind, closer than your breath, always within you. I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. We take one last good deep breath, and we will say goodbye for now, and we'll be back.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send